The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Who do you think you are? I am. It is a glorious day here on Sports 360 AZ, here in the great state of Arizona. I'm Jordan Hamm, and we are on an anniversary, the eight-year anniversary of Phil Weber giving that poetry, chaos, insanity, that quote after performing on the highest stage in the bowling world, at least. And just felt like that I'm going to bring that energy today. I'm going to try to bring the who do you think you are, I am energy all throughout the day, all throughout the week, all throughout this spring. Busy time of year here in the state of Arizona. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Brad Sesmatt Show. A lot to get to. I'm going to talk some recruiting here. Next segment, Devin Henry jumping in here as well. Talk some NASCAR. Talk some Arizona Coyotes hockey. The race over at ISM Raceway is just a couple of weeks away. Formerly ISM Raceway, correct? Yeah. So we got NASCAR on the docket. We got recruiting on the docket. Also going to go over just a couple things here within the Valley. And I think the notable things from yesterday for Arizona sports is obviously combine's going on. That means you have to take everything. We are officially in draft season. And that means you have to take everything said from decision makers, from head coaches, from players even, with a grain of salt. Because this is when the smoke screens start happening. With what I saw yesterday from Steve Keim, from Cliff Kingsbury, and their media availabilities out in Indianapolis, is they really went out of their way to say that, yeah, they're going to try to target a number one receiver potentially in the draft. Whether we don't know when that's going to happen, if that's pick eight or maybe a little bit later in the draft, or with the second round pick. Personally, I think this draft class, as a guy who has sat on the couch and never really evaluated college talent, but from what I read, it seems like this is a pretty darn deep talent group with wide receiver. So I think you can go out and get maybe not a true number one, but a really good option at wide receiver in the second round, potentially. But they went out of their way to say that they are targeting that. CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, both just said that they had talked to the Cardinals. They have also hinted that maybe offensive line isn't as much of a priority in this draft now because of they were able to re-sign DJ Humphreys. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that, the offensive line improved. Yes, DJ Humphreys played his first full healthy year as a veteran and played well. Didn't, blow the doors off of anything. Didn't play at an elite level. He played good. He had some penalties throughout the year. But Kyler Murray was on his back a lot. And I talked about it last week, is use the Colts as a cautionary tale. They drafted offensive linemen. Usually it was in the mid to later rounds trying to go in the bargain bin, and it didn't work out. And Andrew Luck got the game beat out of him. You don't want that to happen with a Kyler Murray type who was sacked 50 times last year. You just don't want that to happen. So I am more than okay. The position breakdown I have right now, order of importance, I would say, is offensive tackle. And again, this all shakes out to how the board goes. You don't want to necessarily reach on a guy with pick number eight, but offensive tackle, wide receiver, interior defensive lineman. And somewhere in there, look, if Isaiah Simmons is available and they pull the trigger on him, I wouldn't be mad about that. That's a guy that can fill a bunch of different needs on a defense that has a bunch of different needs. So I'd be fine with that. But help your huge investment on his rookie contract in Kyler Murray, whether that's protecting him or giving him another weapon. But I would give the edge to the offensive line right now. But those were some just interesting quotes that came out yesterday regarding kind of where they're looking. And once again, this all could be BS. This all could be a smokescreen. It's that time of year. That's what happens where they can really never give a definitive answer. And look, they have seven teams picking in front of them. Some team could make a dumb decision, and all of a sudden there's a Jeffrey Okuda that has fallen to them, or maybe one of those quarterbacks magically slips, and the Cardinals are able to trade down and pick up some additional picks. We never know. That's why I love the NFL draft. I love drafts in general, and the NFL draft specifically is one of my favorite events. And I will, if there is a mock draft online, I will read it, I will question it, but I'm going to click on it and I'm going to look through it. And that's just, I am a draft and mock draft junkie. And I am, the first step is admitting you have a problem. I have a problem. I love everything about the NFL draft. I've been listening to the Kiper and McShay podcasts, and you know, anything that I can kind of get my hands on, I'm going to get my hands on regarding that. So that's what's kind of going on with the Arizona Cardinals. The other notable thing, Ryan Russillo had Cliff Kingsbury on his podcast, and Kingsbury thought he might be getting fired in the middle of his first game. And if you remember how that first game went, it was three quarters of really bad football. Then all of a sudden, the Cardinals were able to turn it around pretty quickly, and the offense got going all of a sudden. The Lions certainly lioned and shot themselves in the foot a couple of times, and they forced an overtime. Ended up being a tie, which is just the weirdest start to the new era of Cardinals football, if it's with Cliff Kingsbury and with Kyler Murray. But in the middle of that, he said to Russillo, "I'm not exaggerating. I was thinking, I can't believe I just bought that house. I'm going to be here two games and they're going to fire me." Now, there were some moments during that first half where it's like, oh boy, this feels very Steve Wilksian. This feels like, you know, Josh Rosen all over again. Things are not going to work out. Granted, they won five games, a two-game improvement, but the games were competitive. I think that's the big difference. And you saw a lot of areas improve throughout the year, specifically along the defense and the offensive line. So I don't think there's quite that they're going to be as trigger happy potentially with that last regime. But just to know that Cliff Kingsbury was having similar thoughts to thoughts that I was having during that first game is something that is a bit candid, and honestly something that Kingsbury doesn't really show to the media that much. So that is kind of what's going on with the Arizona Cardinals. Again, this rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. ASU basketball on a big weekend coming up against the LA schools. Two of the hottest teams in college basketball, ASU and UCLA, coming together to kind of battle it out. Right now, ASU atop the Pac-12 standings. Who would have thought that 6 weeks ago? I didn't. I thought that this team was, you know, going to be a very middle tier team, probably not make the tournament. But man, Remy Martin has come in and played at a higher rate. He was always playing pretty well. Alonzo Verge coming off the bench, just being this volume scorer that, like, it's been incredible to watch some of these guys really step up. And I've seen a lot of, we'll call it vitriol, for the people within the ASU community or covering the ASU community when national media says UCLA is the hottest team in college basketball, hottest team in Pac-12. Who cares? Like, honestly, who cares? Like, how hot the team is playing, or how well they're playing, like, all of that, one, it's subjective. Two, does that affect the tournament chances? No. Like, go out and win the games, and that's what ASU's been doing. And yeah, there's ASU is being overlooked, but guess what? ASU probably has played its best while it's being overlooked. Them being overlooked has led probably to some pretty big wins for them. So I think it's fine that ASU doesn't have a target on their back. Good for them. Like, that's they seem very comfortable in that. and they're good with that. They play with a chip on their shoulder. They play like their head coach when they're being overlooked and disrespected. And if they want to give Bobby Hurley some chalkboard material, then that's just ammo for him to use. Like that's something that I think will really be helpful for them moving forward as they navigate the end of this Pac-12 season and then the Pac-12 tournament and potentially a March Madness bid. And it looks pretty good right now, but they obviously have to finish strong. Obviously, that big win over Oregon, we saw what can happen where they almost lose to Oregon State. We saw it last year where ASU comes in hot and you know, with an incredible non-conference, and then they're kind of limping in to the Pac-12, and they were playing 500 basketball. It's kind of been the opposite this year, frankly, with the previous 2 years where ASU's setting the world on fire in the non-con, and then they play 500 basketball in the Pac-12. Now they're playing their best basketball in the second half of the Pac-12 season. That hasn't really happened under Bobby Hurley with Bobby's guys. You know, he kind of made do with some guys that he didn't necessarily recruit and guard you in a kind of smaller lineups and got them to places that they weren't forecasted to go, but now they've built upon that. And now they're playing their best basketball in the second half of the season. And that's probably what you want come tournament time. You know, so a lot going on. We have the D-backs as well. Didn't even touch on that. Usually that's one I usually open with. But a ton going on here in the state of Arizona. Coming up next, we're going to talk some recruiting. I was out at the Under Armour Combine at Williams Field High School. A lot of really good talent there. Going to break that down a little bit more here coming up next on the Brad Sesmatt Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm filling in for the big guy. And wanted to share a constant thing that I think about over the past 3 months. Doesn't have to do with sports. It's not necessarily important. But on New Year's Eve day, I went to Chipotle for lunch and watched a employee of a certain Brazilian steakhouse here in town get upset with the teenager that was serving him his burrito bowl that he didn't know what cut of meat the carne asada was. I think about that at least 4 times a week, and that just popped in my head in the commercial break, and I felt the need to share with you guys as well. So we're going to shift gears from Chipotle to high school football recruiting. A lot going on. The Under Armour Combine was happening on Sunday at Williams Field High School. And pretty much what these events are is it gives a chance for ESPN and Under Armour to get a closer look at some of these top players in the state. They get invited, probably pay a fee to get in for some of them as well. And that is a way for them to get looked at by some evaluators. And ultimately, if you do well at these regional camps, kind of similar to the opening, you do well there, you could get invited to the national event, which is the Under Armour All-American Game. There were 3 people that were invited, and this was not just Arizona guys. There were a ton of Arizona guys there, but it was more regional. So guys from Utah, some from California, some from Colorado. I know I think in L.A. And even up in Northern California, they do their own events as well. So but kind of guys within the Southwest that were there. So 3 players got invited. The only Arizonan that was invited to the All-American game was Bram Walden, the offensive tackle for Saguaro High School. And one of the top players in the state, just an absolute technician in terms of like what he can do with his mechanics. And that's something, you know, when I talk to these college coaches that are recruiting him, that's the first thing that jumps out. Yes, he has good size, but his feet are great. And he knows exactly what to do with his hands and has, it's funny. He's such a soft spoken guy off the field, but he has that little bit of nasty in him during, he got fired up during some of those one-on-ones where guys, you know, there's kind of some either rules or unwritten rules of doing kind of the one-on-ones when you're not doing pads and not necessarily supposed to bull rush. And there were a couple guys doing that. Bram didn't take too kindly to that. And he won those reps despite that happening. But got a little ticked off. But so Bram gets that invite, and that was cool to see. I talked to him afterwards. He said Oregon, USC, A&M, and Texas are the four schools that are recruiting him hardest currently. He's looking to kind of – it's kind of at the time of year now for a lot of these guys to kind of start to narrow some things down, focus on a few things, and then in over the summer probably commit. A lot of these top guys, if you look last year and last recruiting class, and that's when I really started tracking it closely, kind of when guys were committing – you know, you look even just in the top 10, you know, Keely Ringo waited until January. Bijan Robinson committed over the summer. Tosh Baker over the summer. Lathan Ransom over the summer. Jacoby Covington right before the season and then recommitted at the end of the season. Damian Sellers waited till December. Jason Harris waited. Chuba Purdy, his initial commitment to Louisville was over the summer. Jack Miller was the summer of his junior season, so he was quite early. But a lot of these top guys that have already been getting recruited, they kind of want to get these decisions done. Now, Bram did float the idea of maybe committing at an All-American game, whether that's Under Armour or another one. He was very excited. I think he will accept the Under Armour invite, but he said he needed to think about it a little bit, talk to his family, that sort of thing. He said he'd be very open to committing at the game, but at the same time, if he wants to get it done, he wants to get it done. Other guys that were there, Ty Thompson looked really good, and they actually pointed out Ty in the post a kind of availability that he did not get an invite to the game yet, but he moved up. He was a top 300 player, and now he's going to be probably a top 100 player. So the quarterback out at Mesquite didn't get a chance to talk to him, but just got offered from Oregon, has visited LSU, has visited Iowa, Wisconsin, and this is one of the better quarterbacks, I think, to come through Arizona in the past couple of years. Like, this guy is the real deal. Has a ton of size, can move really well, and put up a ton of stats. And it's cool to see a school like Mesquite because, you know, we hear so much of the regular powers that be that are constantly recruited. But this is a guy over at Mesquite. You know, and also it's not like Mesquite is out in the middle of the boonies or anything like that, but cool to see a lot of different schools getting recognition. But Ty looked very impressive. Jonah Miller was there. The thing that jumped out to me, the South Point Catholic offensive tackle, is how much he slimmed down. I think he's really made it a point to, you know, trim his weight down. This time last year, I was talking to Chris Cartman and he was kind of saying like, he might be converted to a guard because he was getting quite big and kind of really bulking up. He looked like he had played a full basketball season, and he very well might have. But really trimmed down, really athletic. Kai Milner was also there, the quarterback for Higley. He looked really good as well, caught up with him. He said the in-state schools are really hitting him hard right now, as is Iowa State. Brandon Buckner, the defensive end for Chandler. This was really cool because – so Brandon, one of the top – defensive ends in the Southwest. He said he's going to be playing some outside linebacker as well. Obviously, Chandler had some pretty good guys go D1 last year as seniors, as linebackers with Malik Reed, as well as Tate Romney. So they didn't really need him at linebacker. They moved him up on the outside to defensive end. So he's going to kind of be playing everywhere. But the cool part was his dad, Brenston Buckner, defensive line coach, at one time for the Cardinals, then was with the Raiders. Now he's back with the Cardinals. Cool to see him back in the Valley, being able to be close to the family again. He was there the entire time and watching closely and coaching up not only Brandon, but other players too, you know, giving them pointers and that sort of thing. And you could just tell he just wanted to hang with his son and wanted to help out some, you know, the guys that he has maybe been able to get to know pretty closely. So that was really cool to see. Brandon said he's narrowing his list down here shortly. A lot of Pac-12 looking at him right now. Oregon, ASU, Oregon State, Arizona, USC, Colorado. Also has an offer from Iowa State and Maryland. as well as NAU. So this is a guy, yes, slightly undersized, but like just gets to the quarterback. Like he just finds a way. Crew Jackson, this is really the first time I've seen Crew up close and personal. He is a safety for Queen Creek. The games that I was at for Queen Creek last year, he had gotten injured and was out for both of those games. So it was good to see him. The length is what's really impressive with him. 6'5", just a really long player. And you could see some of those where it looked like he kind of got beat and then he'd just throw his arm up. And, you know, his wingspan is super impressive. So he was just able to either knock the ball away or pick it off. You know, take these one-on-ones in these type of events with a grain of salt for linebackers, for safeties, because it's designed, you know, you're usually going up against maybe a tight end, maybe a running back, maybe a wide receiver. But some of these will just be little dump offs. And technically, like, yeah, the defensive guy loses the rep, but it's like you had a 5-yard cushion regardless. So you kind of have to take some of these things with a grain of salt, just across the board. Stevie Rocker, another guy that was there, Brock Dew over at Castile, looked really good along the offensive line. Stevie, the running back from Canyon Del Oro, struggled with his health a little bit this past year. It seems to be back, seems to be good, hoping to put up some really big numbers and add some offers. But Arizona, Cal, BYU, and Nevada. Isaiah Glass, the offensive tackle for Queen Creek. Oregon State really likes him because of his athleticism. And he certainly showed that he's a basketball player. He runs track, does a lot of really cool, you know, a lot of stuff outside of football. And two other guys along the defensive line that really caught my eye before we get out of here is Alani Ma'afu, the defensive lineman for Saguaro. Quentin Somerville gets a lot of love, deservedly so. But Alani is a guy that I talked to Coach Mons recently about him, and he said he has the skills of a skill position guy, but he has the size of a defensive tackle. And he's continuing to grow. And he was a guy that was just a bowling ball, just, you know, winning a lot of his reps. Offers from Memphis, offers from Washington State. I think he just picked up another offer as well. And then Zion Magalai from Chandler High School. He's going to probably go opposite on the defensive line if Buckner is, in fact, on the defensive line. And he was a guy just super impressive and super long. He's a guy that I think can cause a lot of problems. He did that against Saguaro in the state championship game. Brandon Buckner had a pick six. That was all set up by a tipped pass by Zion. So a really good class. I'm just scratching the surface here. There were so many guys out there. Anthony Franklin didn't really touch much on Quentin Somerville, but he's added size and hasn't lost any of his speed. It was a very strong offensive line group and defensive line group. Some of the 2022 guys really caught my eye as well. You know, from the Chandlers and Anthony Lucas, who's picking up big time offers from Michigan, from Oklahoma. Both of those defensive line coaches were with ASU. Got a look at him when he was young, pulled the trigger on him recently. So he, as it stands right now, you know, Anthony Lucas might be the most recruited player in that 2022 class right now. So a lot of talent. And so I have plenty of content. I think before the event even started, I had a dozen interviews. I got some after as well. So I talked to a ton of guys. There's going to be content over the next couple of weeks on Sports 360 AZ. So make sure to check that out. And coming up next, we have Devin Henry talking all things NASCAR and a little bit of hockey. That's coming up next on the Brad Sussman Show.
What up, guys? Devin Henry checking in here on the Brad Sussman Show on Sports360AZ.com. First thing I do want to get to, though, is the Arizona Coyotes, because those guys up in Glendale might just be the only team to make the playoffs in the past year. Can you imagine if the Arizona Coyotes, who had the second lowest average attendance just a couple years ago, makes it into the playoffs? Right now, sitting tied in the wild card position for the West. Darcy Kuemper does come back, although the Yotes lose last night. You know, this is just kind of one of those things where you're hoping that Kuemper is able to step back in, coming back from injury, and just those extra saves end up being the points, whether it be a tie or a win at the end of the day, to help the Yotes move into a position just so that when the final weeks of the season come up, they're above. It makes such a big difference in a wild card situation, whether it's the NFL, the MLB, or the NHL. It makes a huge difference if you're the ones being chased as opposed to the ones chasing. You control your own destiny, and that's where this team can be sitting right now, tied for the last wild card spot. Not necessarily where you want to be, just 2 points out of that top wild card spot. Probably not going to catch up in the Pacific Division, especially with the Knights playing so well. But that's the hope right now for the Yotes, is that Kemper coming back, just having that body back in goal, having that figure, having that piece that's been around this rising success, to kind of solidify that and say, okay, these past few years, the deals that we've made, the moves that we've made, the foundation that we built, okay, we're in the playoffs. So that's the first thing on my mind is the Yotes right now, because that loss last night, it's just 2-1 losses. Those one-goal losses are going to hurt moving down the stretch. Now moving to something else going on in the West Valley, going to the Southwest Valley. Avondale, Arizona, Phoenix Raceway holding the FanShield 500 Speedfest weekend, March 6th, 7th, and 8th, as NASCAR comes back to town for what will be a championship preview. You've heard me talk about so much before about how this is the only chance for teams to be able to write down some notes, figure out the plan for Phoenix with a brand new rules package to what is going to happen in November for the championship race. Now, a few different headlines going on, and we'll talk about it more and more as the race comes up. Of course, we're going to have your Race for the Cup video segment next week on Sports360AZ.com, but I just posted today, actually, a little bit on the ARCA Menards series as they come to town. Names like Haley Deegan, Sam Mayer, Michael Self, Drew Dollar, Chandler Smith coming into Arizona for the first ever ARCA Menards series race here in the state of Arizona. So, could be a big deal, because they will also hold the ARCA West championship race. So, guys like Gio Selzy, Holly Holland, trying to think of a variety of the other ones that had a great days. Trevor Huddleston, those guys who just raced at the Bullring in Las Vegas just about a week ago, will have an opportunity to test the waters of what might happen for their own championship race, even though it's kind of a different series. So there's a lot going on. Three races, a Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday race. But first comes Auto Club Speedway for the Xfinity and the Cup Series. And you can check it out on sports360az.com. I have a list of all the Kobe Bryant tributes. Auto Club Speedway is about 50 miles west if you're driving down the I-10, driving down west of Staples Center. So, I mean, it's almost directly west 50 miles. Unfortunately, that's like 2-3 hours in Los Angeles time. But obviously, the impact that Kobe Bryant has had across the sports world, the most fun, the piece that I love the most. So there is a number 24 car, Hendrick Motorsports Exalta, number 4 Chevy Camaro driven by William Byron. They put purple and gold on the car. I mean, they could have went so much further with this, but at the end of the day, the sponsor and the team and everyone's got to agree on stuff, and it's like, okay, it's fine. It's purple and gold, and it's number 24. So not going to complain, but the car that you should be watching out for this weekend is the number 12. Now, it has body armor on the hood. I don't really know what body armor is. Now, yeah, it's a supplement, it's a drink, it's energy and stuff like that. But it was actually a company that Kobe Bryant had investments in. And so they went all out on this number 12 car, which is half of 24 numbers. It's beautiful. It's snakeskin, gold, and purple with Gigi's and Kobe's number on the deck lid on the back. And it's just gorgeous. It is just a beautiful machine. So it's just really cool to have something like that. And then also Daniel Suarez will be wearing gloves and shoes as well, that are Kobe Bryant with number 24, number 8, and his picture on the shoes as well. And those will go off on auction, and all of the money there will be going to the Mama Foundation. So much cool stuff going on, but of course NASCAR coming up soon. That'll do for my segment though today here on the Brad Says Mad Show. We'll see you next time here. Devin Henry, March 6th, 7th, and 8th, coming up on soon. Be sure to keep it to sports360az.com for all the updates coming on up.
Spring football is here. Spring has sprung. What are you most looking forward to over spring and seeing on the field?
Well, implementing the offense and the defense, all of a sudden it's brand new. Yeah. When you think about it on both sides of the ball. So we're actually starting over again, which is kind of a good thing, because the thing you realize when you start over, it piques players' interest. their knowledge now all of a sudden is challenged. And that's sometimes a good thing. So this is going to kind of be fun to watch this thing, how it grows.
What do you want to see out of Jaden in spring?
Well, to continue the improvement and become more of a leader. And I didn't put that on him last year at all. A freshman quarterback coming in, he had enough on his plate. But what he has done, he's convinced me, and I think the rest of the coaches on the offensive staff, that we can protect him with the football. In other words, he is not gonna turn over a whole lot.
What do you see, Herman, year one to year two, usually out of kids? If we're talking about Jaden, or any kid, freshman to sophomore, in terms of growth?
Well, I think they learn how to be a student athlete and prioritize their time. That's the first thing you realize when a freshman comes to campus. This is why it's critical if they can get in the spring. We have 13 of them in the spring right now, so they can kind of go through the program without having to worry about a game. It's just practice in the spring ball. How do they implement themselves as a student athlete? The time. How do you prioritize your time? You only have so many hours for football. Then your social calendar becomes an issue, right? In today's world, the world we live in, you don't get to make those errors anymore. Yeah. 25 years ago, everything's good, right? Now, everything. And I tell them, when you walk out of your dorm and you're on campus, you're on TV. Somebody has you on a screen. Remember that.
Running backs, walk us through it, because there's some very exciting moves that have been made. And here in spring, look at running backs.
Well, Nagata, we get from Northern California, reminds you a lot of Eno Benjamin, the way he runs. Chip, as we call him, out of the Midwest. He's a powerful runner now. He's a powerful runner. And they're going to compete, those two freshmen, with the kids that we have coming back to play a lot. And you can already see it in the room. You can see it in the workouts. There is competition at every position. That's what this program is built on, competition. You don't live on what you've done in the past. It's about competing right now, today. That's how we get judged.
Two other questions. One is a player or two that you're like, Brad, I've not seen this kid much. I don't really know what I've got here. I'm really looking forward to seeing what this kid's all about here in spring.
Well, I'm not going to point out one guy, because when you do that, their parents are listening to this broadcast. Yeah, okay. Well, why didn't you mention my son? So I'm smart enough to figure that out. I'll say this. We have some young secondary players that were freshmen last year. Some of them were sophomores. How have they grown? We've got some new young linebackers coming in. We have some receivers that are starting to come part of the package, right? Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. At every step of it, we've created a competitive atmosphere. We're going to see who can withstand it.
Last question. You've got guys getting ready for the combine and the draft. What are you hearing about your guys, the Ayuks and the Benjamins and others?
Excited. People are excited about watching them at the combine. And our guys have done a nice job of working out, getting themselves prepared for the combine. Joe has worked with a lot of our guys that not only the combine, our pro day. We have a lot of players that are still here that are going to go through our pro day. So I think they're well aware. I've had some people at the combine already call me and ask me about, obviously, Ayuk, Eno, Cabral. They've already asked me questions about them. So it's good when you send four guys. Don't forget about the punter. Punter's there, too. See, and some people forget about that. So, well, we got a punter there, too. So that's kind of nice. You get four guys to the combine. Hopefully that will become an occurring thing for us, that we send guys to the combine. Our program is built on this, the pro model. What does that mean? 3 years, we want you to graduate. And if you have the talent, we'd like for you to have an opportunity to play pro football, because that's what 90% of these kids want to do.
Appreciate your time as always. Thanks, Herman.
Thank you, my friend.